Hello and welcome to NJ Biz Conversations. I'm your host, Jeff Kanaj. My guest today is Paula White. She is the executive director of Jersey Can, which is an educational advocacy and research organization. Paula, welcome.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
Thanks for taking the time to do it. I appreciate it. I don't want to give your organization short shrift. I called it a research and advocacy organization. What else should our viewers know about Jersey Can, about your work?
Well, we're focused on education, and our overarching mission is to ensure that every child in the state of New Jersey has access to a high quality education. And so that is the goal. And our research, our advocacy, and all of our efforts are really geared toward that mission.
Okay, sounds good. And that's why I wanted to talk to you. Because when I talk to business leaders and business owners, executives, policymakers, about economic development, economic growth in New Jersey, I'm told over and over again that New Jersey has certain advantages over other states, including, first and foremost, it's the first thing, almost the first thing everybody mentions, is the quality of our education system. And they say it with much confidence that is a real advantage for the state. Your organization has done some research that suggests that some of that confidence, at least with regard to literacy, for example, might be misplaced. What have you found with regard to reading scores and literacy in general?
Well, right now we know that only 42% of our children in the third grade in the state of New Jersey are reading at proficiency, at or above proficiency. And so that means that more than half of the state's third graders are left behind. And I mentioned the third grade because that is a pivotal grade, and it's very predictive of how, you know, students are going to do moving forward. And so if we look at that data, even in the aggregate, it is not, it's not promising. What we do know is that there are some subgroups in the state of New Jersey, you know, that are doing well. And frankly, what happens there is that it masks the larger problem about what is happening with some of the students who are Black and brown, students who are low income. And so we cannot just afford to discard those students because we look at data in the aggregate and say, oh, this is great. We really have to be surgical to figure out what is going on, because it is a huge predictor about what is going to be happening in our state from an economic perspective, because our young people are our biggest resource in the state of New Jersey.
Okay. Well, I was going to get to the sort of distribution question later, but since you brought it up, I'll ask it now. That was what I was going to ask. Is this really a statewide problem, or are there certain communities that are more vulnerable and more susceptible to these kinds of to these kinds of deficiencies? Apparently, there are. So.
Indeed. So there's certainly more certain communities that are more vulnerable. But, you know, the question becomes, do they have to be as vulnerable as they are? We certainly know that poverty has an impact, you know, on sort of the learning environment. But we also see examples where when instruction is appropriate and when schools really are doing the right thing for children, we can see a difference. So for example, we see schools where students are, you know, mostly living in poverty, but they're getting the right instruction, especially as it pertains to reading, using what we call the science of reading, which is really the best way to get the largest swath of children reading effectively. And we see where schools like that are actually besting the state in terms of their averages, you know, getting the number of children to read. So North Star Academies, for example, in the city of Newark, they are serving students who are largely living in poverty, but they have 60% of their students, even during the pandemic, you know, and as we were coming out of the pandemic, that are reading at grade level. And, you know, of course, they are pushing for more. So it is possible. So we don't want to think about these realities as sort of a life sentence, you know, for students, because it just frankly is not.
Okay. Now, you mentioned the pandemic, and I was going to ask about that, too, because obviously there was schools were had a difficult time for a couple of years anyway. So and the report that I think I'm mentioning, if I recall correctly, came out in August, this past August in 2023. Was there a pandemic effect that you could identify in the kinds of in the research that you did? Or is this regardless of the learning, the so-called learning loss that we experienced during the pandemic?
So we can't discard the impact of the pandemic. Certainly what we know is, children suffered psychologically as well as, from an academic perspective. But the important point to realize here is that the losses were not distributed evenly. So students who were already in an upward trajectory or were solidly on grade level, their losses, they were real, but maybe equivalent to 3 or 4 months of learning. But when we look at the students that were in the lower quartiles and indeed in the lowest quartile, their scores dropped precipitously. And so they lost maybe 12 months of learning or more. And so if we already have an achievement gap going into the pandemic, and now we have an uneven degree of loss, then what we have is frankly, a crisis. Okay. And it's a solvable crisis.
Right. So that gap that you mentioned, the achievement gap, existed, exacerbated perhaps by the pandemic at this point.
Without question. It was exacerbated by the pandemic. And that has a lot of implications, not only for individual children, but for the health of our state.
Okay. You mentioned the science of reading. I know that's something that your organization has been calling for. Apparently, it's not used in New Jersey, or not used widely as it is in other states. What is it? How does it work? And why should New Jersey use it?
So the science of reading is really the connection of how students learn to read and what our brain cognition is, and how are we teaching students to read. And so what we know is the National Reading Panel put out a report over 20 years ago in the year 2000, which established 5 specific areas where we have to focus our instruction in order to make sure that the largest swath of children are learning how to read well. So phonemic awareness, phonics, really, connecting units of sound to the letters that are on the page, fluency, vocabulary, comprehension. So if we are not very intentional about how we're teaching reading using a structured literacy approach, then what we will see is that we will leave large numbers of students behind. And, it's really important to note that if you are of means, then you can certainly avail yourself of, private tutoring and other ways that you can make sure that, your child will get to the place where they need to be. And so, but if you are a child in a, living in poverty, school is your only hope. School is where you will either learn to read or you will not. And so that is why we are really focused on, having a legislative push to say we must create parameters about how students learn to read in this state, because if we don't, we're going to pay the price later on. We know that there's already a predicted economic impact. We have studies coming out of Stanford University that let us know that right now, the impact of a third grader not being able to read well on the economy is zero, because that child is not in the workforce, but they will be in 10, 12, 15 years from now and beyond. And, we have estimates that our GDP will see a loss of billions and billions of dollars. I think New Jersey is in the range of about $400 billion. And so if we do not stem the tide and get those students back, on track, then we are going to, those numbers will hold true. And that is going to have an economic impact on our state.
Right. Now, just to crystallize this for our viewers, someone who cannot read with comprehension or struggles to read with comprehension is going to have a really difficult time gaining the knowledge and skills required for the kind of economy that's developing. Am I right about that?
That is exactly right. I mean, we talk about a knowledge economy. That's what we have. There's a lot of conversation going on about AI right now. And so, a lot of jobs are going to be replaceable, quite frankly, if we don't have students who, are leaving school really able to think critically and to apply their skills to the technologies, that exist.
Okay. Now, I know you've spent some time in Trenton. I'm curious as to whether this is something that has to be adopted statewide. Is this an issue for the state government, or can individual districts or even individual schools do more to make the kinds of improvements that you're talking about? Or does it really have to come from the top down?
Sure. You know, individual schools are certainly, able to make changes right now. Individual
Okay.
districts can do the same. But the reality of the situation is that in the state of New Jersey, we have hundreds and hundreds of school districts. And so if you take, for example, New York City, they've got about 1 million students in their system. They have one school district, and they just put out an edict this year that said, schools have to choose from three specific reading programs that are aligned to the science of reading. And so, because they're one district, they can make that edict and schools have to follow suit. Well, we've got about 1 million, students, give or take, in the state of New Jersey, at the K-12 level. However, they are dispersed across hundreds and hundreds of school districts. And so, if we don't have a legislative push, then what we will have is a really eclectic response to a crisis. And, that's not the way that we get to the finish line. It really just is not.
Okay. So how do you assess where policymakers are now in the state? I mean, anytime there you start to talk about something coming out of Trenton, you get a pushback about home rule and about how towns and districts should be able to make their own decisions. What has been the reception in Trenton and just in policymakers general who you talk to about these kinds of things? Are they seriously taking this issue up, is what I'm getting to.
We're getting more and more serious about it every day,
Okay.
which is really exciting. The reality is that we are one of a handful of states that have enacted no new reading legislation in the past, 3 to 4 years. Whereas you have states in some instances that have passed 12, 13, 14, 15 laws related to reading, the science of reading, and making sure that we are creating a bar for how it is that we're educating our students. And so we are having conversations with legislators every day, on both sides of the aisle about this issue. And I think that there is an increased, sense of urgency around this problem. When you think about, the jobs that are out there, one of the things that we know is if we say that we've got 1,000 vacancies and we have 1,000 folks that are looking for work, that doesn't mean that we can put them together and we have a problem solved. Of course, that's a very overly simplistic and rather silly way of looking at it because we have to have a skill match. And so what we're talking about here is if we do not have students that are able to read well, if we are not applying the science of reading, if we do not have a plan coming from our State Department of Education, and that is being enacted, then ultimately what we will have is, lots of roles in our state because our state is very attractive in many ways, but then the residents that are here will have been ill prepared. And quite frankly, that's just not fair to the children that we have in our schools right now. And we've just got to do better by them. And I'm very hopeful that our legislature will really partner with us around this effort. We are building a groundswell of support from organizations around the state, and we're going to keep pushing.
Okay. And have you gotten much feedback or help from the Murphy administration? I mean, Phil Murphy as a candidate campaigned on making the state more fair, more equitable. He talks about it all the time. It seems to be a priority for him, along with the so-called innovation economy, which requires those good schools and good reading scores and literate students and graduates to participate in. What has been the role of the administration? Are you satisfied with what they're doing?
The early conversations that we've had with the Murphy administration have been very promising.
Okay.
They do understand, that this is urgent, that we need to be screening children universally, to get a sense of where they are, that we need to be preparing teachers, both teachers that are in the classroom and teachers that are coming out of education preparation programs. And so we are, encouraged by those early conversations, but we know that we have a lot of work to do to get to the finish line. We really need to, be having more fruitful, concrete conversations with the State Department of Education that really aligns with what we know and is going to give clear and succinct guidance to the field about how to move forward. We did have an early win with the State Department, the State Board of Education. They
Okay.
passed some better standards for the state because curriculum is a local decision, to your point about home rule, but state standards are not a local decision. The State Board of Education passed those.
Absolutely.
So they just did that, which and those standards are more aligned to the science of reading than they were in past years. So that is encouraging, but education has an implementation problem. It's a very serious problem. And so we are nowhere close to the finish line. We have to remain vigilant, and we look forward to conversations with this administration, as well as with the State Department and all of the stakeholders that are, and quite frankly, power brokers that can make this happen. This is the most important issue that we are facing in the state right now, and we cannot be myopic about it and just think about, the folks that are in the workforce right now. We have to think about who are our school leavers, and will they be prepared to really reap the benefits of living in our state? And right now, the answer for at least half of our students is no.
And on that point, and just to wrap this up, to bring it back to where we talked about, if there are business leaders, people in the business community who watch this and are alarmed by this, as they probably should be, what can they do besides supporting your organization, which I'm sure they will? What can, should they? Is it putting pressure on the legislature? Is it again finding trying to help out their local schools, the whatever district that they're in? Is there anything that the business community should be doing now that they're not doing?
There are things that the business community can do right away. The first thing is to make sure that you have conversations with your local legislators. Who is your assembly person? Who is your senator? Have you, call them and have a conversation with them and say, what are you doing about this issue? What do you know about this issue? And then with the school districts that are within, your locale, we need to have an understanding. Ask those districts, what is your approach to teaching reading? What are the outcomes that we are seeing right now? What is your sense about how well our students in this school district are being prepared? And when those questions are asked, that will really raise the level of accountability for our districts, for our legislators, and indeed for our Department of Education, because the business community is very influential. And so when they talk, quite frankly, people listen because they have the clout. They are the ones that are providing jobs in our state, and quite frankly, can pull out of the state if they feel that this is not a viable state to do business. And so they are very powerful, and it would be great to see them continue to flex their muscle. We have been in conversation with the New Jersey Business and Industry Association, and they stand behind this effort because they know the stakes are high.
As you say, the business community very influential, and I know that the issue of workforce and the quality of the workforce and the future of the economy are vital to them. If you're interested in supporting Jersey Can, there's a link in the text accompanying this post. You can certainly do that. Paula White, Executive Director of Jersey Can, thank you very much for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
And thank you all for watching. Until next time, stay safe, everyone.